single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV. 수요일.
Hello, welcome to Living Life. And as always, it's a pleasure sharing God's word with you today. We'll be sharing Isaiah chapter 64 verses 1 to 12 with you guys. Growing up, history was one of my favorite subjects to study. I know it sounds a little boring, and I know a lot of us probably don't like history, but for me personally, I loved studying history. I loved studying how civilizations were formed. I loved studying how certain countries came to be about. I loved how studying about how each wars came to take place. And for me, it was just a lot of fun reading into history. I think one of the most important things about learning history is we learn history so that we don't make or so that we don't repeat the same mistakes. And I think that's one of the biggest strengths of learning history. People, we have a tendency to forget some of the things that we've done in the past. And even if you look at our lives, we tend to forget a lot of things. Ironically, we remember our bank account number. We remember the phone numbers of our loved ones. But when it comes to remembering God's word, we become extremely forgetful. Through today's text, I want us to examine the importance of remembering the past when it comes to how God's faithfulness was on full display with the Israelites. So let's get into the word today and let's look at how God wants us to remember his faithfulness. Let's get into the word.
Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 12. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. Your sacred cities have become a desert. Even Zion is a desert, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and glorious temple where our fathers praised you has been burned with fire, and all that we treasured lies in ruins. After all this, O Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure?
Verse 1 starts with the appeal of the writer and asking God to rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Now, this is a powerful imagery, and if you could picture God just ripping the skies open and just coming down to meet us, it's a very powerful imagery. And verse 2, it says, as when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. The imagery I got after reading verse 2 was how Elijah battled the 500 prophets of Baal on Mount Horeb, and he just asked God's presence to be shown, and he even poured water on the altar, and the fire of God came down and just consumed the whole altar. And after that, Elijah slayed the 500 prophets of Baal. But after that incident, all the nations knew who the true God was, because those 500 prophets were constantly calling out to God. They were ripping their skin apart, cutting themselves, appealing to their God, but he was silent. But the God of Israel answered, and this was the imagery that I got. And if you look, if you continue on to verse 4, it says that, "Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." So I think the key point over here is just waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we get extremely impatient, and especially living in our current times, where information comes at a lightning speed and we want instant access to everything, it's hard to wait upon God's time, which is Kairos. We have a tendency to go on Chronos, which is the current time that we have. But Isaiah is telling us to wait on behalf of God, who's going to come down and who's going to save us when he sees it's appropriate. As we continue to read the text, verse 6, it says that all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. It's another powerful imagery, and we just get a sense that with our own strength, we're unable to achieve righteousness before God. We have the original sin, and we're all sinners before the Lord, and no matter how hard we try, we're like filthy rags before God's righteousness. And verse 8, it starts off by saying that, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." I love this imagery that God is the potter and that we are clay. We're nothing but dust and dirt before God, but he forms us. He makes us according to his purpose and with his hands. And if you look at a pot, it's very fragile on the outside. And if you drop it, it just shatters into many, many different pieces. And there's lines and cracks if you hit it the wrong way. We're that fragile on the outside. We're very broken people. But what's inside is what makes this imagery powerful, is that we have the Spirit of God in us. And even though on the outside we are like this clay, easy to break, easy to crack, but because we carry the Spirit of God within us, and because we have the gospel in us, we become very strong people because of the presence of the Lord is upon us. And verse 9, it says, "Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people." I love this appeal from Isaiah to asking the Lord not to be angry beyond measure and to not remember our sins forever. It's important. So there's two things about remembrance here. One is remembering God's faithfulness in the past. Sometimes we're so easy to forget God's faithfulness, but as we go back and see God's faithfulness in our lives, and Isaiah is ultimately telling the Israelites, do you remember when God pulled us out of Egypt, when he split the Red Sea in half and we're able to cross safely into the promised land, and as the sea swallowed up the Egyptian army that was following us? Do you remember God leading us through the wilderness? During the day, he led us with the cloud. At night, he kept us safe with this pillar of fire. Do you remember when we were hungry, God will give us food from the skies? When we were thirsty, God gave us water from the rock. And there, Isaiah is telling the people to remember all that. And at the same time is asking God, can you not remember her sins? It's a powerful, powerful picture. Calling upon the Israelites to remember God's faithfulness in the past and asking God, please do not remember our sins. We're very weak and fragile people before you. We're in need of your grace and your mercy. And this chapter ends with the question. Verse 12, it says, "And after all this, Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure?" The answer to that question we'll examine in tomorrow's text, chapter 65. So before we go into a time of prayer, remembering our past, remembering history, it's very important, and especially for the Israelites, to remember God's faithfulness and to continue upon their walk of faith and asking God not to remember their sins. Let's go into a time of prayer. One of the key themes in this chapter was remembrance. And it's remembering God's faithfulness, all of the good works that He has done in our lives, how He has saved us from a sinful and broken world. And also at the same time, it's asking God to have mercy on us, not to remember our sins anymore. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 34, it says that God will call us, our people, in our hearts, who will engrave His word and He will no longer remember our sins. So there's a beautiful promise waiting for us, for those who wait upon God's promise. So let's go into a time of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you so much for the word you have given us today. Thank you so much that you have chosen us as your people. Sometimes we're so forgetful of how great you are and of all your faithfulness and of all the wonderful things that you have done in our lives. I pray that we may not forget your promises, that we may not forget your grace and your love and your mercy upon our lives. At the same time, even though we're fragile, I pray that you be the potter in our lives, that we may be the clay, that you mold us, that you shape us into whatever you want us to be. And I pray that that you will not remember our past, that you will remember, that you will not remember our sinfulness, but that you cover us with your grace. May we continue to wait upon you as we wait for your promises. We thank you, we love you, and in your precious name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world that's stepping in closer.